Doesn't get done.
The House Workforce Development Finance and Policy Committee will come to order. Can I get someone to move the minutes?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Chair Hassan moves the minutes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Minutes are approved. First on the agenda is a bill from Brett Bing. It is informational hearing only since it is not in our jurisdiction yet. So welcome to committee, Chair Bing, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to make sure, this is the bill for Korean Organization Minnesota, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Yes. So, Mr. Chair and members, so this bill grants $250,000 to the Korean Organization of Minnesota to support the Korean and New Americans for job training into the workforce. The Korean community are New Americans to Minnesota, just like when the Hmong first arrived in Minnesota 50 years ago. We needed a lot of job skills, support, and social services to be able to survive and thrive in a new home. So KOM is the only organization that directly serves this population in helping them adjust and be a facet of the community. And this bill will support them on their mission to serve more. And with that, Mr. Chair, I'll leave the rest to my testifier to explain why and how much this impact the funding will be for the organization.
Thank you, Chair Bing. If your testifier can proceed. Welcome to committee. Please state your name for the record, share your pronouns if you like, and proceed with your testimony.
Hi, my name is Etta Ku. It's spelled E-H space T-A-H-K-H-U. And I am the co-executive director with the Korean Organization of Minnesota. Good morning, Chair Zhang and members of the committee. The Korean Organization of Minnesota is the first social service organization established by the Korean refugees from Burma. Korean refugees began coming to Minnesota in early 2000s, and the population in Minnesota is nearing 20,000. The vast majority of Korean community in Minnesota live in Twin City metro area. We now serve over 2,000 people per year from many different cultural backgrounds, though refugees from Burma continue to make up the largest member of the participants we serve. Over the past 15 years, KOM has a long history of creating and adapting programs based on the evolving needs of the Korean and other refugees community we serve. A common thread, after being in the refugee camp for so long, people are eager to find work to support their families, to pursue education, and to contribute to the community. But often they face language and education barriers to prevent them from accessing training and degree programs that will help them advance their skill and enhance their ability to find jobs with family sustaining wages. Nearly 70% of refugees from Burma lack a high school diploma, and current household 40% are earned less than 35% a year, $35,000 per year. Labor force disengagement is high, with only 65% of working age adults in the community being employed, compared to the state average of 80%. In response to this, KOM began creating our own workforce training programs in partnership with local busy education providers that heavily emphasize contextualized industrial specific literacy development within career pathways that offer higher wages. Since 2016, we have supported over 300 immigrants and refugees to earn like workforce credentials. This year we are planning to offer five career training pathways, serving over 200 individuals in the next 16 months. While we are grateful for the competitive grants awarded to KOM from DEET and other funders that allowed us to create and grow our programming, we know that continued robust investment is needed needed to ensure that the current and new American population have accessible training options that meet them where they are at. This direct appropriation would support KOM to ensure that KOM's frontline staff are trained and able to implement effective workforce development programming. KOM have the tools and resources needed to efficiently track participant programs and evaluate program efficiency. And third is KOM has funds available to participants that increase outcomes in training and help more people make the transition to stable family-sustaining careers. We urge that the committee consider funding this direct appropriation. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Discussion. Representative Wings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And thank you, Representative Vang and Executive Director. Thank you for the breakdown for KOM. This is very, I think, important to see exactly what your plan is, how you intend to use the funds that we have here. I'm also impressed by your charitable giving ratio from the past. In a lot of different opportunities that we have here, we take a look at how well you spend that money to achieve your goals. And I've just got to ask you, how do you have such a high ratio? What's the secret sauce, so to speak, of really getting the, I think this is for the executive director, that you're able to take the resources that are charitable donations and you get it to your core mission of helping people integrate, accommodate job skill training here in Minnesota. If you could give us, what's the secret sauce?
Do you want to?
We have another testifier who's the co-executive director. She's also here. Good morning. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for record, share your pronouns if you like, and proceed to answer Representative Ween's question.
Sure. Thank you, Representative Weens. My name is Alexis Walstead. I'm the co-executive director of the Karen Organization of Minnesota. My pronouns are she, her. And regarding the charitable ratio, are you talking about our administrative versus program investments? Okay, sure. Yeah. That is something that's always been very important to us as stewards of state and federal funds, as well as private foundation and individual contributions. This team, I would say, has grown very rapidly. Our budget has increased about 80% in the past 2 years. And so it's really been driven by a need for refugees coming out of the pandemic, both to re-enter the workforce, also dealing with a significant mental health and chemical health crisis that arose, particularly among youth during the pandemic. And then also working with new arrival populations from Afghanistan, Ukraine, Central and South America, other populations that are coming in. So we have always been really driven by what we can do best to serve community needs. I would say in terms of keeping the ratios low, we obviously share our co-executive director duties. That was an intentional choice to be able to offer kind of a breadth of executive services under two people. And we have our program directors who provide a lot of input into the program development and excuse me, grant writing processes, but they're also spending most of their time working with this direct service staff and working in the community. So that's I guess the secret sauce.
Representative Wings.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Wallstein. I think that is a great answer. To be effective and efficient with the resources that you have to help the most people in the community as well as those other communities that you mentioned. So thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you. Chair Becca Finn.
Thank you, Chair Zhang. And I will say, as someone who lives in Roseville and represents Roseville, I think part of, to Representative Ween's question, I mean, our community sees the current community and knows how important it is to support folks and welcome them into our community. I mean, the reality is that when we help these families, we're helping the whole family. Like, these are kids who are in school with our kids. And I think overall, I think like part of what you're getting at is sort of a testament to our community in Roseville is more diverse than people realize. You know, even as a suburb, we're a very diverse suburb. You know, majority of our students are BIPOC students in our schools. And I think that that's really part of our whole community being supportive and recognizing that it's the right thing to do. And I want to thank Representative Vang and I think Chair Vang. And I think what you touched on too, you know, it's the refugee story that is similar in a lot of ways to other populations that are now part of our Minnesota, you know, our Minnesotans now. And I think You know, we see sort of the same struggles early on, and I know that it's important to me and my constituents that we support folks and fully welcome you and make sure that the people you're helping can fully integrate and be part of our great community. So I thank you, Chair Vang, for carrying it, and I think it's really part of you guys do good work, community sees you doing good work, and it's a relational aspect as opposed to a transactional aspect with the community supporting what they're doing.
Lee Baker.
Thank you. The testifier had mentioned earlier about the five maybe new pathways to careers. Could you tell us what those pathways are? What are the careers expansions you're going into, if you could?
Sure.
To the testifier.
Okay, sure. I can take that question. So our first career pathway was interpreting in human services. This actually started specifically as an interpreting pathway, but we found that most of our participants really wanted to get into those human service careers and help other people. That is a language neutral program, so we've got participants from several different languages. I think our most recent cohort had 7 or 8 different languages and populations that they were working with. We are also running warehouse kind of upskilling trainings with some selected workforce training providers who have seen Karen workers on the floor and want to help them get into leadership positions within the company. We are doing construction trade training in partnership with Roseville Adult Basic Education new business administration training also with Roseville area schools. And then the fifth one is a new grant through the Drive for Five program that the legislature just authorized last year. And that one will be for commercial driving.
Lee Baker.
CDLs. That's good. Thank you. That's what I was looking for right there. So thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Further discussion on the bill. Seeing on closing remarks, Representative Vang.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to thank the committee for your time and for your support on this bill.
Thank you, Chair Vang. Thank you to the testifiers for being here this morning. Next is House File 5230. Chair Vang, I will move that House File 5230 be laid over for possible inclusion. Welcome back, Chair Vang, to your bill.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good to be back. So House File 5230 is a grant to Indigenous Roots as a fiscal agent to Cypherside Dance School. I'm proud and very excited to support Cypherside because I've seen firsthand how much they are loved by the community and have become a hub for many youths in the area. They are an anchor, and their popularity in the community encouraged them to grow. However, because they do serve an underserved population, their capacity is limited to meet the demands for their growth. So this bill will grant them $100,000 to continue to build transferable skills within the youth in the organization and the capacity of their dance instructors to grow and pursue a career in the arts. And with that, Mr. Chair, I'll yield my time to my testifiers to explain how important Cypherside is to them.
Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record, show your pronouns if you like, and proceed with your testimony.
thank you, Chair, Vice Chair, and members of the committee for the opportunity to speak today. I'm Lou Tao, director and founder of Cypherside Dance School in North St. Paul. In 2021, I was able to open my own space with the support of Indigenous Roots. When I started Cypherside Dance School, we had 5 instructors, 13 classes, and 75 students. Today, we have 16 instructors, 38 classes, and over 300 students. At Cypherside, we're dedicated to inclusivity and empowering youth. Our studio serves as a hub for youth dance culture, offering classes in breakdance, hip-hop dance, and K-pop dance. We've also introduced adult classes tailored for individuals with developmental disabilities. Today, I want to emphasize the importance of workforce development in dance education. Our youth programs not only teach dance, but essential life skills such as commitment, hard work, and accountability to empower young people for careers that are not only in the arts, but in any career they choose to. As our programs expand to meet community demand, we recognize the need for additional and high-quality training. We require support and training for our instructors for ADA classes to ensure inclusivity and foster supportive environments for individuals with disabilities. We rely heavily on community support, and we are seeking state assistance to continue to provide safe spaces for the youngest people in our community to express their arts, learn the cultural heritage through dance, and embrace people who are different from them. In conclusion, investing in workforce development for dance education benefits individuals, strengthens the arts community, and contributes to the broader economy. Thank you for the opportunity to testify. I respectfully request the committee's support for including this request in the omnibus bill.
Thank you, Mr. Tao. I believe we have another testifier. Good morning. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record, share your pronouns if you like, and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Chair, Vice Chair, and the committee. Hi, my name is Nolan. I am 12 years old, and I have been dancing with Cypherside for 8 years. Cypherside has changed me a lot throughout the years I have been dancing. When I first did Cypherside, I was really nervous, but as time went on, I felt more comfortable, and it made it feel like another home. During my journey at Cypherside, I did a lot of performances, which helped me build my confidence even more. I would also like to appreciate my instructors that teached and helped me over the years at Cypherside. The kinds of dancing I do is breakdance, and I also just started hip-hop a few months ago. I am also a youth assistant at Cypherside. Youth assistants will help the students in a class and do duties around the building of Cypherside. But the most important thing about being a youth assistant is being a role model and a leader. Being a youth assistant could also make me an instructor at Cypherside as I get older. Thank you for listening to me.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, Vice Chair, and the committee. My name is Amelia, and I am 10 years old, and I've been on Cypherside for 6 years. Cypherside changed my life, and I will forever be grateful. Cypherside has changed me as a person. They make me feel very confident. I've made so much friends on the journey and will keep going in that path. When I first started Cypherside, I was very nervous, but my classmates and teachers have made me feel at home. Cypherside will always be my home. I do hip-hop and K-pop, and my teachers have inspired me so much. I really love dance because there's so many unique styles out there, and dance just makes me feel super happy and free because you can do whatever you want with it.
Thank you. I do have a question to the testifiers. I saw a social media post that you all will be dancing for the halftime show for the Minnesota Timberwolves. Did that already happen?
So it's actually today. So
hey, all right.
So initially today, so some of you guys might not know, so I'm also a college dance professor at McAllister College too, so after this I have to go over there. But so today we're the first Hmong organization to perform for the halftime, to be invited for the halftime show. Specifically today is AAPI night, and so we'll be there at 3 o'clock today, and we'll be there for halftime, so we'll be there the whole day. So nice. That'll be us.
Nice, nice.
Representative Senator Muir.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Zhang. Thank you, Chair Vang, for bringing this bill. You know, I just wanted to say that as someone who has seen you all perform in person, the committee is missing out today on not being able to actually see you, but excited that we could watch you tonight in the Timberwolves game. And I just wanted to say that I really appreciated what the testifier shared about the youth assistant kind of position. And, you know, I think in this committee we hear about, you know, youth programming, but I think we often think about kind of older youth, high school youth, and their entryway. But I really love the idea that it starts a lot earlier, and how do we, you know, build young people's leadership skills who have been in our program. You know, it's amazing that one of the testifiers shared that they'd bring them in the program for 6 years already, right? And so I love that kind of like, how do we develop a ladder for youth of continually getting more responsibilities, leadership skills. And I also just want to say that, you know, I think it's really important to kind of talk about how do we build career pathways into the arts. In Minnesota, we have a really amazing arts community, but I know for a lot of people, how you become an artist and how you actually become a working artist who can get paid to make art is very unclear, right? And I think particularly for young people of color, they don't always like see that as a profession they can have. And so I just really appreciate you for you know, bringing that clarity, like this is something that you could get paid to do. You can get paid to perform maybe at a Timberwolves game someday. And so thank you for your work.
Thank you. Lee Baker.
Thank you. Terrific presentation today. Thank you. I was curious, how often do the kids dance each week?
Oops. I don't know.
Well, thank you, Chair and members of the committee. So it really depends on each student. So usually the minimum is once per week. These students probably come around 3 to 4 times a week.
Yeah.
So Nolan here, too, comes and practice by himself, too. So they learn self-discipline and just coming to the studio and just being in a space where they can just focus without having me to teach. So I would say Nolan comes here 3 to 4 times a week, I'm assuming. Sometimes it could be more pretending there's performances or other things that kind of happen, but I would say 3 to 4 times a week.
Lee Baker.
I think this is it's really telling to see the commitment and your drive, Nolan, to go in and do so much dancing each week. This is it sounds like, again, with your earlier comments, this is a safe space for these kids. Are we going to dance now, or maybe it's going to be a breakout dance
Mr.
here, huh?
Mr. Chair, I'm assuming this is cue to our testifiers do also have freestyle a dance prepared for the committee, too, if you will allow.
Go free.
Mr. I'm done asking questions right now. Let's do this. Yes, thank you.
Perfect time. All right, Mr. DJ. Okay. Follow-up?
Chair, I think this is a great request, great bill. Thank you very much.
Chair Becker Fenn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just going to tell folks to go to their website and see the photos of how many kids are benefiting from this program. I'm super excited to go find some YouTube videos of you guys, so good luck tonight.
Well, and to that, Mr. Chair, if I could, actually I was going to ask for the video. If there could be anything sent to the committee administrator to share us what it looks like, I think Representative Becker Fenn is right on. I'd love to see more of this if it could be sent to us. Thank you.
Chair Hassan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Chair Vang, for bringing the cutest testifiers ever on record. But I also want to thank you guys for the work that you're doing. Art and music has become something that is a luxury for the well-off people, and to have this in communities that normally may not have the resources to access it is really vital. One thing that you said about commitment, that's the one thing that stuck with me throughout the testifying period. Our youth today, like, we talk about how young people lack commitment. So instilling commitment as young kids as this age is really important. So thank you for coming, and thank you for the great performance.
Representative Emerson Yeager.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for bringing this really creative and thoughtful bill. I'm actually a retired dance team coach and have been in dance since I was 3, and my girls are now 6 and 9 doing ballet. So just from what I see with working with kids as a coach, dance is so important to helping these kids grow in themselves, teaching them. You guys all, you hit all of the things that we want to see as coaches. Teaches confidence. It teaches strength, like your moves. That's a lot of strength to do those moves. It also teaches, like, emotional, mental, and physical health, the ability to, you know, express things through dance or just get a good workout or be able to kind of meditate and zone out is really important. And then I think you hit with the self-discipline, too. And all of these skills are transferable. If you want to go into the arts, like, these skills will help you. If you want to go into, I don't know, a science lab, those skills will also help you. So I just think it's a really cool bill, and thank you so much for sharing it, and best of luck today.
Closing remarks, Chair Vang.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. As you can see, I don't need to say much to see how great Lou and Cypherside is, and especially the students here today to testify. Thank you so much. And, you know, I'm very excited to continue to support this bill. And with that, I ask for the committee support it too as well.
Mm-hmm. I will redo my motion. House File 5230 be laid over possible inclusion. Thank you, Chair Vane and testifiers. Next is House File 5065, Representative Hussein. I will move that House File 5065 be laid over possible inclusion. Welcome to the committee, Representative Hussein, to your bill. I'm also told that you have a DE-1 amendment that was introduced past our 24-hour deadline, but we can do an informational hearing on your DE-1 amendment. So if you could explain your DE, and we can have an informational hearing on it. Representative Hussein.
Thank you, and good morning. And I can't dance, but I'll try my best. Those were phenomenal kids, and I'm happy to see them and witness that today. I want to thank Chair Jay Jean and the committee members. The amendment that we put it together is specified for those individuals and organizations to get those dollar amount. And we could not meet the deadline, but I'm happy to discuss with you, Chair, ongoing. And I'm happy to, I would like to move House File 5065, if you don't mind.
Do you have any testifiers? Or?
I do have a testifiers in Minnesota Milestone Community Development. This is will create a workforce training program for the new American underserved community, youth programming, leadership skills, resources, social services, and activities and advocacy for those youth. And if we want to see money, Representative Hassan and advocacy for, we need to uplift for those young kids, and I'm honored to carry this bill, and I would like to yell for Lee. Lee Baker for Ramsey County Workforce Director.
Welcome, Ms. Becker. Please state your name for the record, share your pronouns if you like, and proceed with your testimony.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Thank you for this opportunity to be before you today. My name is Ling Becker. I am the Workforce Director for Ramsey County, which also gives me the privilege of being the Executive Director of the Workforce Innovation Board of Ramsey County, which serves the City of St. Paul as well as the county. I'm pleased today to share our enthusiastic endorsement of the Milestone Tech Program. Mr. Mohammed Amin could not be here today because his father passed away last night, so I'm speaking on behalf of the work that they've been doing in partnership with the county. The origins of their program actually began with a county investment of American Rescue Plan Act funding, and the county and city has invested significantly in local workforce investments to try to accelerate both outcomes and opportunity for residents in our community using those funds. They have completed two cohorts in partnership with North Central University and have just started their third. They do work in IT support as well as data analytics. Both are high demand, high wage fields in our community that are underrepresented, particularly with Black Americans and people of color. The really unique thing about this program, I will say, is that partnership with the county, where we're continuing to help them both navigate the challenges of oftentimes the systems of government as you receive those funds, as well as connecting them to other resources that the county does provide. So we connect them with our work with employers, we connect them with our work with different job fairs and other things. And so being able to be interconnected with the community org in our community at the county level has allowed us to support them in a unique way. I will say the other thing that's really unique about Milestone, and some of you do know Mr. Amin, is his dedication and commitment to the community. I've been to their couple of graduations and have gone to classes as well to see the young people in action. But the respect for elders in this community and the connection to family is a big part of the success of young people right now, particularly after the pandemic. These are young adults, 18 to 24, who are disconnected from school at this point. And if they don't find something positive to sort of engage in, oftentimes, you know, we see less than positive results for the community. And so through those, that kind of bridging of relationships, of expectations on behalf of the elders in their community, and his personal and the organization's involvement, we see tremendous retention. We see that there's amazing attendance for class, and that really comes because of the strength of the community bonds. And so that is a really unique aspect of this community as well. So I just really want to continue to say how much the business community, the employer community needs technologists. We need to have technologists that reflect our community, and people of color, particularly East Africans, are underrepresented in these roles. And so this is a way to both invest in our economic competitiveness as a community and also invest in young people in our community. So thank you for your time today.
Thank you. Discussion.
I have one more testified, if you would allow me.
Okay. I will now.
Dr. Nadir Mohammed and Kauthar.
Good morning. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record, share your pronouns if you like, and proceed with your testimony.
All right. Good morning. My name is Dr. Nadira Mohammed. I'm a pharmacist. I work at the Minnesota Department of Health. And today I want to talk to you guys about the Minnesota STEM Project, which is a project that's really close to my heart. It's a nonprofit organization in which we do a lot of outreach within the Somali community and East African community in regards to teaching students about STEM just in an everyday life situation. So we do hiking trips. We do a lot of just a lot of answering a lot of questions. We started it off while I was talking about medications, when I went into a lot of the mosques, just talking about medication safety and medication adherence and just describing to them how these medications work. And from there, we were sensing that there was a foster for getting to know more about the sciences. And as a pharmacist, I attended the University of Minnesota's College of Pharmacy. There was two other colored people that were in the class out of 300 students, which did make College of Pharmacy, that experience really hard. But at the same time, my father is a pharmacist, and so I was kind of privileged in that sense. And so my nonprofit, I want to be able to kind of be that bridge that helps the students of the next generation be able to see other people that represent them, that look like them, help them kind of, figure out their paths and career in life. And so I have one of my volunteers here whose name is Kauthar.
Hi, so I was first introduced to the Minnesota STEM Project through Nadira in 2021.
Can you state your name, please?
Oh, sorry. My name is Kauthar Mahmood. And for as long as I've known Nadira, she's always wanted to include everyone and include people who were underserved in things, regardless if she had support or not. And her main prerogative, her whole life, was health and wellness. And I do feel during that hiking trip, seeing those kids learn about photosynthesis, chloroplast, all these things that they didn't know about while they're seeing it, and just seeing them, their eyes spark up reminded me of when I was a kid. And my mom was a nurse, or training to be a nurse, and she would teach me anatomy and physiology. And just being a third grader and seeing all that, just it reminded me of that. And so, yeah, so just to start with our mission. Our mission is to prepare and stimulate the minds of underrepresented students within the state of Minnesota through authentic, interactive activities, access to resources, and ethnically diverse near-peer leaders, and ongoing input from participants to increase interest in pursuing STEM-related fields. So essentially, letting children be active agents in their learning and creating core memories through everyday life. And, yeah.
Yeah, and so we want to work with elementary students, and I just wanted to add on that I am also a board member for SNAPI, which is a Somali Network and Professional Business Network, and I'm going to wrap it up, sorry. But basically, we've created essentially a network of professionals that are within the tech field, within the healthcare fields, and I want to be able to connect those people to these children, so thank you.
Pete Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And a question for the testifier. Is it a doctor, correct?
Yeah.
Thank you. This is exciting work that you're doing, and I'm wondering about your footprint larger than maybe the metro area. Have you had a chance yet to kind of reach out to some of the rural communities that also have Somali communities like mine in Wilmer or St. Cloud or other places? Have you had the ability to do this? Because, again, I've got a lot of folks looking for this kind of connection with you. And I was wondering, what's the best way for us to do that, whether it's remote or whether you can do some remote sessions kind of thing? Has there been any thought of that?
We've tried to have, since the pandemic has happened, we've tried to have a lot of virtual events, which has been very helpful and you know, making it more accessible. However, a lot of our reach has been kind of like volunteer based, and so we've been very heavily focused on the Twin Cities with this pilot project. But we do hope to expand to Willmar, to St. Cloud, to Mankato, and all the other cities that are in the rural areas as well, too.
Lee Baker.
We'd love to partner with you, so if you want to reach out to me sometime in my office, I'd love to help you set up a visit in my community anyway, and I'm sure others would do the same.
Thank you
very much.
Representative Emerson Yeager and Dan Carasong.
Thank you. Just want to say great job getting into the STEM field. I know just not only being in a community of color, but also being a woman, especially in pharmacy and STEM. Great job. It's a hard thing to do. And again, just as someone who went to the bench in the lab sciences, I think what you're doing with the kids is great. Just by sparking curiosity and answering questions, they're going to be great scientists if you continue to foster that. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Rep. Hussein, for this bill. Thank you, Dr. Nadira and Kosar. You did good. I know you were a little nervous earlier. But
it's my first time.
But you did good for somebody who did this for the first time. Thank you guys for this work. As someone from the East African community, I know this is an important work. I always say in this committee, what young people don't know does not exist. Mm-hmm. There is a theory in psychology that says the 3-block radius. So children, you know, can't think outside 3-block radius of their environment. So whatever your environment is what you think the world is.
What your reality is.
Having, exposing these kids to STEM, giving them a chance to go to hiking, to connect, you know, nature and science and doing physical activity while you're also learning about science, those are great things. And I also, like, I know Mohammed Amin from, what's his organization's name?
Milestone
is not here today, but I attended the graduation for the young people who did the tech training. And the only comment I made about that graduation was like, you have a lot of boys here. Where are the girls? So to have you, Dr. Nadira, leading the way and saying that science is not only for boys, you also can do it wearing a hijab, is very important. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any further discussion? Seeing none. Chair Singh, I know that Ms. Becker mentioned earlier that Mr. Muhammad Amin could not be here because he lost a family member, so we'll be keeping him in our thoughts on closing remarks.
I just got a text message this morning. Muhammad Amin, his dad passed away, and we'll keep him in the prayers. And thank you for supporting this bill. Thank you.
I will renew my motion that House File 5065 be laid over for possible inclusion. Next is House File 5019. Thank you, testifiers, for being today. Representative Frazier, House File 5019. Representative Frazier will move that House File 5019 be laid over for possible inclusion.
That is my motion, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Committee members, Lee Baker. This House File 5019 is funding for Inspire MSP. Inspire MSP started as a campaign back in 2020 to get folks back into museums and galleries after we were hard hit after the pandemic. And I'm going to take a second to talk about just a bit. As I was growing up, some of my fondest memories were when we took field trips to museums, art museums, history museums, and I like art, I like history. But what I did not think about or understand was the people behind the scenes, the people that were responsible for the curation of the art, the people that were responsible for the artifacts that were in the museums, that were given that visual notification or learning experience for history. Inspire seeks to change that for many of the kids in our communities that have not had access to that, the kids that have not been served or introduced to particular careers that could be behind the scenes to inform folks around history or art. The organization currently partners with Hennepin Theater Trust, Guthrie Theater, Northrop Auditorium, First Avenue, Minnesota Opera, and a number of others. And the importance of this of this funding for this organization and the importance of the need for this organization is that, you know, we may not all have the talent to be in front or on the stage or the folks that produce the art, but we all often have a love for that art or love for theater. And to understand a way that we can turn that passion and love in a way to help support that and do it as a career and be paid for it is an important thing. And we need to help create a pipeline as we have ever-changing demographic shifts in diversity in our state. And we want to make sure that we're introducing everyone to that aspect and potential career. So with that, Mr. Chair and committee, I will yield and allow time for Dr. Israel Moses to talk about the program.
Welcome to the committee. Dr. Moses, please state your name for the record, share your pronouns if you like, and proceed with your testimony. Are you speaking to me? Okay.
So I've got two testifiers. They're fighting out who's going to speak first. I think we're going to go with Mr. Ryaner.
You state your name for the record, share your pronouns if you like, and proceed with your testimony.
Yeah. Thank you, Chair. My name is Dan Ryan. I'm the Executive Director of Inspire MSP. I want to cover off why we're here and where we're going. So why we're here is Minnesota is top 10 in the creative industry in the U.S. It's an industry that lacks diversity, but specifically here in Minnesota, it significantly lacks diversity and access. The creative industry is a fusion of both place and role. We oftentimes think about it as just the arts. But if you think about it from theaters all the way to U.S. Bank and the creative roles there, or General Mills, or Target, and all the different 80,000-plus creative roles and growing. In our first year, Inspire MSP, last year had 293 students, 6th through 9th grade, from across the metro with 6 schools. Today, we have over 800 students, 17 schools, a wait list, 4 schools, students, and partners. Our programming is grounded in the belief you can't be what you can't see. We address workforce disparity by connecting our historically excluded students with place and role. And we are building a highly collaborative approach to strengthen the network of our students, resulting in the most significant system change for both students and community. As you said, we are building our partnerships, and we ask for the funds today on behalf of more than the 1,000 students we've worked with to continue to build the thousands of students and allow them to consider themselves as historically included in the growing creative community. Thank you.
Thank you. Dr. Moses.
Greetings. My name is Dr. Israel Moses IV. Committee Chair, Committee Vice Chair, and Committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify. I want to piggyback off of something I heard earlier by Representative Hassan, and she said that a student's environment, they can only grow within 3 blocks of that environment. So my goal is to change that environment and to give all students the opportunity to experience the arts, the vast opportunities and career opportunities in the arts. And I testify as a career educator. And throughout my 26 years of educating youth in both Minneapolis, St. Paul, and surrounding areas, one of the commonalities that we talked about was the comprehensive education. And the comprehensive education is really creating a through line through everything we've heard today, whether it's dance, whether it's science, STEM opportunities, arts that we are creating. And so it brings me great pleasure to be able to testify for a program that I have joined in partnership with the students and the organizations that I co-lead now. And so I see the 1 minute left, so I'll wrap it up quick. The children are our future. And again, Representative Hassan, thank you for that key piece in stating that we need to change the environment and give them the opportunities to experience more than just their 3 blocks. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Moses. Discussion on the bill. Chair Hassan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Rep. Frazier, for this bill. The one thing that just caught my eye is you can't be what you can't see. Children have to imagine that there's a better world out there and there are better opportunities. And if we as adults in their lives can, you know, unlock that opportunity for them, then the only thing that they think they can be is their, you know, struggles and their circumstance. So thank you.
Lee Baker.
Real quick, thank you. This sounds like a great program. It reminds me a lot of my ProStart program that I worked with culinary students in schools. This, are you actually plugged into the schools or a few schools, or is this an after-school program? How are we actually connecting inside the schools? If you could just go to that a little bit for me, please. Thank you.
I'll speak really quick. As a school leader, it is within the schools. So we utilize our field trip opportunities during the day. We tie it to current curriculum that we're working on. And then it almost becomes, I don't want to say a scavenger hunt, but the students are out thirsting and looking for knowledge that they can come back and work in the schools tied to the curriculum that we use. And I also know that that's a connection with a number of the other schools that we work with.
Thank you.
Lee Baker.
Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Closing remarks, Representative Frazier.
It's a great program. I know it's still early, but it's working. It's having an impact, and I'd like to see it grow.
I will renew my motion. Representative Frazier will renew his motion on House Bill 5019B. Laid over for possible inclusion. Thank you, testifiers, for being
here. Thank
you,
Mr. Chair.
Next is House File 5012. Chair Hassan will move the House File 5012 be laid over for possible inclusion. To your bill, Chair Hassan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. Today we have House File 5012. House File 5012 is a bill that seeks $350,000 from the Workforce Development Fund to Summit Academy so they can launch a training program for dental assistants. Summit Academy has a long history of training workers, primarily people of color, for good-paying jobs and careers in the construction industry. In the last 10 years or so, Summit Academy has substantially expanded its programming to include direct training and career support for people working in the information technology and healthcare. Summit has also developed a successful GED training program, which has helped hundreds of Minnesotans obtain a high school equivalence. The dental assistant program would be another addition to their programming. With that, Mr. Chair, I have a testifier and will stand for questions.
Thank you. Is your testifier going to testify, or are we just?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record. Chair pronouns if you'd like to proceed with your testimony.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, my name is Leroy West, President and CEO of Summit Academy. And thank you for allowing me to speak on behalf of House Files 5012 in funding support for our unlicensed dental assistants. As you recall, Summit Academy, we're a career and technical education center located in North Minneapolis, and our focus is on training those who are unemployed and underemployed and providing them with the skills so that they can succeed. We are, you know, somebody provides this training, which is, you know, our secret sauce at no cost to the student. So we annually raise funds and we seek support, you know, for this bill. We have our dental assistant program. It certainly is a priority occupation under the state of Minnesota, which is one of the Drive for Five initiative. And with the current worker shortage that the industry is facing, we're partnering with a number of industry partners like Aspen Dental and like Delta Dental and Heartland. And we have a industry advisory council that they are assisting us to help us develop this training so that we can create an on-ramp training from an unlicensed training to a licensed training. So we will also be working with a number of the technical schools so that we can have articulation agreements as we are moving those that are from these communities in which we serve so that they can have the industry recognized credential to move into this industry.
Thank you. Discussion on the bill. Representative Liz Ryer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Chair Hassan, and for being here today to talk about Summit. I spend a lot of time working on access to dental care legislatively and have seen the terrible workforce shortages limiting the ability of people to get care, especially in including people who are covered by medical assistance. So I just want to thank you for launching this, and especially for creating a pathway for there to be broader representation of our entire Minnesota community in the ranks of dental assistants, so that people can go and know that somebody who looks like them, we're expanding the neighborhood again, and making not just giving access to care, but creating visions of what could be. So thank you.
Thank you. Further discussion? Closing remarks, Chair Song.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's a great bill. I ask the committee to include this in the final bill.
Chair Song renews her motion to House File 5012 related for possible inclusion. Next is House File 5044. To your bill, Chair Song.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm back again. House File 5044 is a bill that seeks $350,000 from the Workforce Fund each year. Fiscal year 24 and 25 for the Metro Youth Diversion Center. Metro Youth Diversion Center operates the YCARE program, Youth Care Assessment Readiness and Education, which focuses on helping prepare East African students for the workforce. House File 5044 states that the YCARE program must prioritize career exploration, mentorship, and enhancement of professional skills. Since its inception in 2018, Metro Youth Diversion Center's unwavering commitment has driven them to cater to the pressing needs of vastly underserved communities in Minneapolis. Their comprehensive range of services encompasses targeted outreach to youth, establishing a pro-social activities that foster trust and meaningful engagement. They also offer specialized training to empower young individuals in conflict resolution and effective interpersonal communication. As part of their dedication to the growth of young people, they facilitate connections between youth and mentors, providing vital support and encouragement. With that, Mr. Chair, I have two testifiers and will be very brief. I know you're short on time.
Good morning. Welcome to committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Good morning, Chairperson, members. My name is Rashad Ahmed. I'm the Executive Director of Metro Youth Diversion Center. I'm honored to have this opportunity to speak with you today about the importance of funding the Metro Youth Diversion Center Workforce Development Grant. Our East African youth face numerous challenges, including lack of access to role models and opportunities. By creating this platform, like the YCARE program, we are not only providing essential workforce development, but also setting our youth up for a brighter future. Too often, our youth are faced with limited options, find themselves drawn into lives without purpose, turning into crime and substance abuse. However, the YCARE program, we are providing them with mentorship skills, guidance, pivotal way from these destructive path toward a fulfilling careers and meaningful contribution to society. This bill is not only about finding our youth jobs, but it's also about creating a better opportunity for them where they can do career exploration and connect with professionals that can help them find career path. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome to committee. Please state your name for the record, share your pronouns if you like, and proceed with your testimony.
Good morning, committee. My name is Kiwanis Valera, and I manage the whole outreach team at Metro Youth Diversion Center. Just allow me a minute to give a story to y'all so I can explain to you what we do through the story. It was a boy and a girl who failed in the hole. And everybody in society was walking past this boy and the girl. And they was looking down in that hole laughing at them. And so one day, this man and this woman looked down in the hole and said, is everything okay in that hole? And the boy and girl is crying refusiously in that hole. And the man and the woman jumped in the hole with the boy and the girl. And the boy and the girl thought they were still lost in that hole. They said, why did you jump in this hole with us? Why did you jump in this hole with us? And the man looked the boy and the girl like I'm looking each and every last member of this community in the eyes, said, the reason I jumped in this hole with y'all, because I'm the one who dug this hole and I know the way out. The moral to that story is, the very same hole that these children and these individuals that we serve in, I've been in that hole. And a person with lived experience could dig in that jump in that hole with them and help them out that hole and show them a brighter pathway than change their life and be a productive member of society. Thank you, committee.
Thank you for sharing your story. Discussion.
Lead Baker.
Just, I only have to comment that this is the day that our best quotes are found, our best memories, because you said it perfectly. I can use that every day in my substance use disorder folks. They're in a hole, and people that are helping them get out are the ones who actually were in that hole. Great job. Thank you.
Any further discussion on the bill? Seeing none, closing remarks, Chair Song.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Lead Baker said what I wanted to say, so it's a great bill. Thank you for your support.
Chair Song renews her motion that House File 5044 be laid over for possible inclusion. Thank you to the testifiers and to the bill. Next is Representative Zalesnikar's bill for Lake County Ambulance Services. We don't have the bill in our jurisdiction yet, but it will be an informational hearing. Good morning, Representative Zalesnikar, to your bill.
Thank you, Chair. Chair Jung, for the opportunity and members to present this. I'm happy to have a presentation on Lake County ambulance and a partnership opportunity. Having been on the task force for EMS, we all know the importance of ambulance services, and this bill really is at the heart of it and a fundamental piece of EMTs. We've lost over 4,500 EMTs in a very short period of time, and we don't have the pipeline coming in. And I'm going to let the testifier really explain this, because he drove all the way here from Lake County in Two Harbors, and he can explain to us. But this is a high school partnership program that will allow juniors and seniors to have access to a program and then be certified at 18. They can take the test, and so when they graduate, they will be employed. And this will allow the North Shore area, which is a place many of you travel to have coverage. And we really need to have people trained right at a high school level right now. So I'm going to defer my time, Chair Jung, to Randy, who's going to, you can introduce yourself, and you can learn so much from him, because he's going to share the program.
Good morning. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record, share your pronouns as you like, and proceed with your testimony.
My name's executive director, or my name's Randy Strohmeyer. I'm the executive director for Lake County Ambulance Service. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, board members, for having us here. And as you know, right now, EMS is a hot topic. Everybody's talking about it. We need funding, and we need people. And, you know, there are a lot of you that are working at a high level, and we really appreciate it. But what I've realized is we're putting a lot of work in to move people on into these higher levels, to paramedics, to community paramedics. The problem is we're moving them out of the field. We need to focus at a local level how to bring members of our society into this workforce. And we have high schoolers that need jobs. We have family members that want to stay in these local, rural Minnesota communities. And so this is an opportunity that we can provide the education. We can partner with the schools who have the technology, and then we can have EMTs that selfishly I want them to work for me or another ambulance service, but we also need CNAs, we need firefighters, we need police officers, we need dispatchers. So this EMT certification allows these individuals, these high schoolers, opportunities for the future they might not have ever realized. And then it exposes them to these fields that we need help. So some of the goals of this program, we want to address some of the barriers. We want to improve access to EMS education by utilizing our local resources. We have Lake County Ambulance Service ourselves in Lake County, Minnesota, and then we have North Shore Health Ambulance up in Grand Marais. So we've worked with them. We've talked to both the school districts, so we have the framework in place. But as you know, in EMS, what we don't have is we don't have the funding. And so right now, it's just something, it's a cost that we cannot absorb. And so we're here in front of you asking the Workforce Development Fund for this appropriation that we can provide this education to these students.
Thank you. Discussion, Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Chair Jung. And
and Representative Zlesnikar, thank you for this bill. Back in high school, that's getting to be a while ago now. I don't want to admit how long ago it was, but I had taken a first responder class, and it was offered through high school. It was after. It was kind of an extracurricular thing, and you know, part of that was I had to volunteer for 40 hours on the ambulance service, and you know, I was, I don't know if fortunate or unfortunate, I never end up going on a call during my time of volunteering, but it was at the same time, you know, through that, I learned skills that I've been able to take through my life and be able to have, the, you know, the, there's an important service there. And I think, you know, just having this program in, you know, we've talked a lot of today about exposing people, you know, to different careers and different avenues, and I think this is a great opportunity to do that into high schools and, you know, our rural Minnesota, and I'm sure the metro area as well is all needing more EMTs, more ambulance services, all of that, and, you know, rural Minnesota especially. It can be an hour from the time you call to get an ambulance, just driving there, let alone response time can be added on to that. And, you know, when seconds matter, you know, minutes are too long. And, you know, having this is, you know, such an important thing. So thank you for bringing this forward.
Thank you.
Lee Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To the testifier, do you know how many other programs around the state are like this that you want to kind of build up? I know there's one in my area with New London Spicer, and I've been providing them with some free naloxone for training and that kind of thing through the students. So I'm just curious, do you know of other colleagues like yours that are doing this around the state, and how many might that be?
I know of a couple. There's in the Minneapolis, St. Paul area. I know there's Century College, I believe it's 906 they call it. They run a big program out of there. And then there's a program that's out of, I don't know if it's Southwest or Southeast. So there are a couple programs around the state, but unfortunately there's nothing up in Northeast Minnesota. So,
yeah, Mr. Chair, I really do support this. I have found firsthand that the program in West Central Minnesota is where our location is at, has been very successful. There's two very dedicated teachers. One is a teacher, but is also a director of our local emergency services, and he's really engaged in this. And so again, I think this is a terrific program when you got the right people like you leading this thing. So I will be supporting your bill. So thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry, Representative Ryer, I skipped you. I apologize. Representative Ryer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative, for bringing the bill, and to the testifier for being here. I spend a lot of time worrying about the well-being of the ambulance system, especially in greater Minnesota. And so to me, the combination of creating a pipeline that helps kids, students find the right path for that themselves and equip themselves and prepare themselves while we're filling a critical need in an underserved area is really important. So I thank you for this.
Further discussion on the bill. Representative Weems, you're looking at me. You got a question? No? Don't look at me then. Those are remarks, okay. Representative Zlesnikar.
Thank you, Chair. Having been a student of health occupations in high school, that gave me the opportunity to work at a state hospital, volunteer, become a CNA, it definitely was the pipeline that brought me to be a nursing home administrator for 30 years and be a CNA for 10 years. So I think this is a fantastic expansion where we need it, and I see opportunity to use this as a pilot for northern Minnesota to also share what we learn, then to use in Ely and in other areas across greater Minnesota when we can expand this. And so having the hands-on experience right there with the ambulance where they can work with the high schools, I think is a fantastic partnership and use of our resources. So thank you, members, and thank you.
Thank you, Representative Zlesnikar, and I appreciate you bringing a bill and seeing a need in your community and finding a solution by bringing a bill to the committee. We just don't have in our jurisdiction having information here today, but once we do find out about a budget target, we will have further discussion. So thank you for being here today, driving down to share about our great program that you have up there. Next is another Representative Zlesnikar bill. The Duluth Public Schools IT Career Planning Services. And I believe Representative Zlesnikar also has some
Donuts are sure, and so if you haven't had
remembered.
One. To your bill, Representative Zalesnikar.
Thank you, Chair Jung, and thank you, members. This bill is in the same lane of CTE development, and this is an opportunity to fund a software initiative for 5 years that exposes kids at a middle school level to the technology, the resources that come with the trades, and just what the professions look like, because they look so different. And so to the points that were made today, we only know what we know, and if we don't see it, I think it's really important. My cousin is a construction lead director and drives all the heavy equipment that I saw at the trades, and you know, more and more opportunities, and I think getting the pathways exposure at that middle school level is what we're seeing you know, happening across the country. So I'm going to let my testifier that was so gracious, they came from Duluth also to share, and this is for the Duluth Public School Systems and would benefit students in northern Minnesota. So I'll let her introduce herself and share this program.
Good morning. Welcome to committee. Please state your name for the record, share your pronouns if you like, and proceed with your testimony.
All right. Good morning, Chair and committee members. I'm Jen Larva. I'm the Director of Secondary Education for Duluth Public Schools. I'm very grateful for this opportunity to come and address you today, and extend my thanks to Representative Zalesnikar for facilitating this discussion on supporting our students' future career exploration. Duluth Public Schools has been committed to investing in our students' futures by enhancing our programming to better assist them in exploring those career pathways. We are planning a significant change in our middle school model, as Representative Zalesnikar stated. We want to provide more robust opportunities and support for students as they are exploring their career options. Our ultimate goal, of course, is to have every high school student have a clear path for their future upon graduation, whether they choose to enter the workforce, serve in the military, or pursue higher education. And we want to equip them with the skills and knowledge necessary for success. I brought along with me a partner here that I'm going to let her introduce herself and explain a little bit more about the program. But thank you for your consideration.
Good morning. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record, share your pronouns if you'd like, and proceed with your testimony.
Good morning. Thank you for allowing us to be here today. I'm Danette Sebo, principal on special assignment with Duluth Public Schools. I supervise our career and technical education programming, the implementation of our college career and readiness plan all the way from kindergarten through high school. I supervise our counselors, career centers, and I serve on all of our area workforce boards. Our community, our local community, I would say is bigger than three blocks. For us, we shoot to give our students as much exposure to careers within about 30 miles as we can. And our workforce boards, our employers, the trades are incredibly supportive of our students in school programming. But we're limited to as much as time as they can give us and as many students as we can get through. And there's a lot of hurdles and barriers there. And what this software does is connect our students to jobs that we can't get them exposure to and to more unique and directed experiences. There are virtual job shadows. There's videos that they can watch to see what that workplace is really like. It will help connect them to training programs, college programs across the country, and connected to people in those fields around the country as well. And so it is part of what we are trying to completely, fundamentally change about the experience of students in Duluth Public Schools, really working towards educating them with purpose and helping them feel supported and be supported all the way through to high school graduation, where they have a confirmed plan that is enrollment, enlistment, or employment. Thank you.
Discussion on the bill. Seeing none, closing remarks, Representative Zalesnikar.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, members. I'm a big fan of the trades, having been a mom that had two sons, and one took a pathway of a 4-year degree. And the other ended up at Dunwoody and found his calling. And I learned a lot from that experience. And then in working with the district, the schools that I represent in my district, and also shadowing and going to the suburbs in Minneapolis, St. Paul, to the districts that have done phenomenal things with career technical education, it's been really fulfilling. And I see these program opportunities to bring it down to the middle school level and to give high school opportunities just phenomenally important right now. So I thank you for the opportunity to have Northern Minnesota present today. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Zelastigar, and also thank you to the Duluth Public Schools team for being here this morning.
Thank you.
The next is another Representative Zelastigar Bar, Zelastigar Bill, the Proctor Public Schools Grant for Career and Technical Education Program. To your bill, Representative Zelastigar.
The grand finale. Thank you, Chair, and thank you, members. And this is a unique bill. What this is about is creating a regional career technical education center of excellence that would bring three school districts together in a partnership and create space to kind of have the best technical education training platform in northeastern Minnesota. And I think Proctor, I'm going to allow the superintendent from Proctor Schools to spend time explaining this, because I've spent time at the schools. Proctor's done a phenomenal job. They have had land for years where they build a house a year. I've watched this process. I've spent time in their culinary, and they have tremendous pathway programs that they really understand this and can help facilitate leading this. For Hermantown, Hermantown has not had a strong focus on the trades historically, or a CTE program, and with welding and nursing and healthcare and all the different professions that are really in a situation. We have two huge hospitals that were in renovation. We have Cirrus Airport. We really need to have this. So I'm going to defer the time to Superintendent, let him introduce himself and talk about the bill. Thank you.
Welcome to the committee, Superintendent. Please state your name for the record, your pronouns if you like, and proceed with
Thank
the
you.
Testimony.
Thank you, Chair John. My name is Kerry Juntunen, K-E-R-R-Y-J-U-N-T-U-N-E-N, and I'm the superintendent of Proctor Public Schools, and I'm very honored to be with you today to just speak a little bit about our CTE program. In the world of education, everybody's fighting to be the best or fighting to be unique, and we have done a great job of fighting to be unique, and we have positioned ourselves primarily in an area of the career technical education. And we say pre-K-12 when we talk about that, because we don't just plan to graduate in Proctor, we graduate with a plan. And that plan starts all the way down in the early childhood years. And so we think that we have a really good idea and model on how this could be done. We would be representing at the school districts of Hermantown and Esco. I was born and raised in Esco. I was an educator superintendent in Hermantown for 20 years. So I have my feet in all three of those communities, and we feel, again, uniquely positioned to give our expertise on how this could be done through a regional center of excellence.
Thank you for your testimony. Discussion on the bill. Lead Baker.
Thank you, Representative Zelesnikar, for bringing this bill. Superintendent, thank you for being here, too. Give me more examples of what you envision about a center for this programming. It's a lot of high-level stuff. I really support what you're trying to do here. We've got a program, again, back in our area that collaborates with three other school districts, and they work on an entrepreneurship program that's kind of locally funded. But that's what they're unique in. Tell me what you see, a little bit more detail, if you could, on your vision to this program.
Well,
Superintendent.
Thank you, Chair. What we see is you need space. An economy of scale, what we would be representative of here is about 5,500 total students. And so you bring them into a central area, bringing the students to a central training center, if you will. We have very strong culinary arts program, the house building program that we Representative Zelesnikar mentioned. We have a space and time that you need to have for kids to be there working in those areas. So what we're asking for is to plan for something like this. Can you put together a facility that would be your training center? Then you have obviously these outside entities, and the three communities are very close together. In fact, we touch each other's boundaries. So it's not that we'd have students running all over the place and hours to get to a place, but we'd be centrally located in a triangulation and get them into that opportunity to learn, you know, in a space, and then go out to different spaces to use the skills that they're learning in that actual space. So I appreciate the question, because as we think about this and as you plan for these kinds of things, it all started with Superintendent Aaron Fisher from ESCO and Superintendent Wayne Whitmom and I standing around after one of our local meetings saying, you know, how can we work together? What could we do together? And then we went to Rock Ridge School, and many of you are familiar with the collaboration between Virginia and Eveleth. They built an enormous CTE building when they built it, combined the new schools. We said, you know, we think we could do something that's very similar to this, and it would be very efficient use of funds. And these are legacy funds. You'll be building this in a one-time, or planning for this in a one-time deal, but it's going to be going on for years and years, well beyond. So we appreciate this opportunity to speak on behalf of a bill like this, and thank Representatives Lesnikar for thinking of us in it.
Pete Baker. Further discussion on the bill? Seeing none. Closing remarks, Representative Lesnikar.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, members, for hearing these great bills for Northern Minnesota. And I think this entire day has been fantastic and inspiring. And we are here to inspire youth. And I think that's what these bills are all about, to give people hope and opportunity and pathways to make a great living. And when I went to high school, the trades existed in the school system. And I think right now we're looking at economies of scales of how to be efficient, how to do things effectively, how to give people software training and opportunities of exposure early on. And so we're recreating things that have kind of been left on the wayside for a few decades, in my opinion, and we're bringing it back, and I think it's really exciting. So thank you for your time. Enjoy the donuts, and thank you to everybody that drove 4 hours today. Thanks.
Thank you, Representative Lesnikar, and to Superintendent and all the testifiers for being here today. Members, we are going to be in recess next week, so we will not be meeting. And as I shared with Lead Baker earlier this morning, I had a conversation, Chair Son and I, that conversation with the speaker's staff yesterday. We should find out sometimes this week if we have a target or not. And so it is TBD with our workforce dollars. If we do find out, I will make sure that everyone gets noticed, especially you, Lee Baker, and sure. You've been asking, and especially our nonpartisan staff. I apologize. I know that this means you all will have to work extra hours, but we really appreciate everything that you all do, and do know that I am thinking of you as we're pushing our leadership staff to get that conversation come to fruition. Lead Baker, do you have a question?
And thanks for that update, Mr. Chair. I know this is that time where we're trying to figure out the final targets and things. Last week we talked just briefly about possibly the paid family medical leave. Has there been any updates on that yet to come and see it in a bill form so we can address this? I know you had committed to a good hearing, and when that comes, I just want to see if there's been any updates on that, Mr. Chair.
I think you know more about it than I do, I really, to be very honest, because you've been in touch with Deed. I still have not heard from Deed. I think yesterday I had a conversation with Mr. Reese, and I'm told that they have a bill.
Yes. Well, Mr. Chair, members, it is conversations are happening at top level.
Really top level.
Mr. Chair. The impression I do and do not.
Yeah, okay, well, thank you. I just know this is a top level committee.
Absolutely.
That needs to hear this. Needs to hear this top level bill because it's really important. So I just want to keep pushing it. And if they haven't connected with you, that's an issue with me, Mr. Chair. So we absolutely just need to make sure that we are tied together side by side, and we can work through that. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, that Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Baker, I know I reached out to you early on because you reached out to me about this. We have not finalized any proposals or anything like that. I've been working with Deed, working with the governor's staff, and as soon as we have something, I will be connected with you.
So, Mr. Chair, again, to Representative Frazier, we need, and we all recognize we've got work to do on that area, right?
Yes.
So there will be a bill we want to substantially kind of dive into a little bit. So, again, we're hearing a lot more comments from the field, from small businesses, from folks that have some questions. I'm looking forward to diving into that. So the sooner we get it, the better. We can't rush through this thing. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Absolutely, Lee Baker. As I noted, I want to give it the bill, if it does come into our jurisdiction, give it ample time for us to have a discussion on it, because it is a very important conversation for all of our communities. And right now I'm just waiting to see if the bill comes. And if it does come, Travis will send a notification to everyone, and I'll give everyone ample time to be prepared for it too. That being said, we are adjourned until after recess.